that somebody who wants to commit a suicide mission actually takes their passport with them on this suicide mission. So let's assume for some reason that they would behave so irrationally. And let's also assume that somehow that passport has remained intact, although the body of the suicide bomber has been, you know, been torn to sunder. Somehow the passport itself remains intact. So let's go with them to the administration. What the French government is saying, that the Syrian passport holder is actually one of the terrorists themselves. Okay, let's get that. Then the critical question would be, why would a member of ISIS, and ISIS, they do not believe in national entities. They believe in another kind of formation of people. Why would that individual deliberately take that passport with them if it were not for the hope of getting it caught? If it would not be to get it found? So find this passport so you can blame the Syrian refugees for this crime. That would be the only logical assumption. And if that is one of the objectives of ISIS, which clearly it is, just as it is here in Lebanon, because we know in Lebanon that ISIS actually stated falsely ISIS claimed that there were 3 suicide bombers, and ISIS claimed that 2 of those suicide bombers were Palestinian and 1 was Syrian. All that information turned out to be false. We found 2 suicide bombers in Lebanon that were behind the terrorist attack on Thursday, and none of them were Palestinian. So clearly the objective of ISIS in Lebanon was to create division between the Lebanese and the Palestinians, as well as to create division between the Lebanese and the Syrians, particularly because the names that they declared, ISIS declared as the suicide bombers, were actually names of previous victims of ISIS. So it was a complete fabrication. And we can look here to what has been the response of Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah. And what he stated yesterday is he made an appeal to every Lebanese and to, you know, Lebanese agencies not in any way, shape, or form to hold communities responsible for the crimes of individuals. That even if these crimes were conducted by Palestinians, we would not hold the Palestinian community responsible. Even if the crimes were carried out by Syrians, we would not hold Syrian refugees responsible. The fact that this statement is being made in the midst of a country that is housing almost 2 million refugees, where we have almost 20% of our population right now in Lebanon is Syrian refugees, I hope would be a lesson to the French government to follow our lead in this regard and not to then have repercussions against Syrian refugees or other refugees in France, which would be exactly the objective of ISIS here, exactly the objective.
16th of November 2015, and as we sit here in mid-November 2015, of course, the talk of the world right now is what happened in Paris last Friday, and my When False Flags Don't Fly video from 5 years ago that's currently featured on the homepage of CorbettReport.com seems more relevant now than ever, but if you go and click on the Articles tab here on CorbettReport.com, you will find an open-source investigation that's going on right now into the Paris attacks. So this is an attempt to synthesize and compile as much information of relevance to the real investigation that's going on online right now into what happened as is possible. So this is just a short little article compiling some of that information, but the real action is going on in the comment section where members of the Corbett Report community are contributing links, analyzing and vetting information in the spirit of open source journalism that Corbett Report attempts to foster. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of links. Excellent work to a lot of people who have been compiling this information, boiling it down, synthesizing it, analyzing it, discussing it. So a lot of stuff to go through there. And of course, I do invite your participation. Please do leave your comments, leave your whatever information you can dig up. If you have links to information, that's always helpful for me in actually compiling this. So this article is in fact being written not only by myself, but really by everyone in the Corbett Report community. And I do appreciate this help. I think this is the way forward for journalism as we start to compile this information. Of course, going through some of the interesting facts that I'm sure a lot of you have seen already about foreknowledge related to these events, including, of course, Patrick Palou and the fact that there was a multi-site attack exercise going on that very day involving police, firemen, EMTs, and others who were ready to respond as the events unfolded. Also, the less well-known bombing threats to Gare de Lyon railway station and the Hotel Molitor, where the German national soccer team were playing earlier that day. And also, I think I haven't seen a lot of reporting on this, Soft Rep is reporting that the attack attacks were known about in advance, that the French National Police were meeting with the German BKA Federal Police and BND Federal Intelligence Service to discuss an imminent pre-planned terrorist attack in Paris 2 weeks ago. This seems to be linking to an arrest that was made on November 5th in Germany of a 51-year-old Montenegrin who was transporting AK-47s, hand grenades, handguns, TNT, and other assorted arsenal. And he was stopped in Germany on November 5th. And he was apparently headed for France. So this may be related to that. We've also got information about the Iraqi intelligence warning to French authorities that apparently not only warned them of what was coming, but actually had a lot of specific information about how this was being planned and by whom and where, that apparently French authorities have not made public yet. So still a lot of information unfolding. I do do appreciate your participation and helping to sort through this mess, because I think hundreds of us can do a lot better job than any one person can do. Please do take a look at this Paris Terror Attacks open source investigation article at CorbettReport.com, and please do contribute, and we will learn our way forward together. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.
Suggests that this was indeed a false flag event. Now, in the case of what has gone on in Paris, we already have ISIS claiming responsibility. The authorities in France have gone on to basically confirm this as well. And, well, that right off the bat tells you it's a false flag, because right here, and this came out a few months ago, as reported on by Zero Hedge, secret Pentagon report reveals the U.S. created ISIS as a tool to overthrow Syria's President Assad.
This episode of the Mouse Report is called Satan's Passport. ISIS frames Syria and Palestine. Suicide huggers wanted. I'll get to that.
Get in America, America. parking.
Mine was terrible. Terrible. And we had parked our cars inside here, and then the police came while we were playing and said, oh, those cars were coming up. So, like,
you remember the Chinese pilot An Jin Song putting self under the near wing of our plane, putting self in harm's way, like An Jin Song in Shogun, like Marco putting self under near wing defending Asia, making of self a great role. Well, before I get to that, spelt USA.
We have the practice apologist dueling teachers. Got to dueling teachers.
Okay.
course, Operation Southern Mistral was the plan. When Walter Turner says, there was really no plan, when he says, quote, there was really no plan, unquote, that's a lie. The plan was Operation Southern Mistral from the fall of 2010. And the plan of operation of the UN Resolution 1973, same as the plan of the Rockefeller UN Res. She donated the land for the UN, but 1973 was the year of the Arab oil embargo. Libya, the last to drop it, first put our agent, Lama, Tim Osman, on the Interpol wanted list. That is the plan. Here we have the practice apologist dueling teachers. Got to teach Eric.
What's the, not the difference, what do Walter Turner, BJ Prasad, and DJ Mouse, or what do the dueling teachers have in common with DJ Mouse when they are lying and aiding and abetting the West Salafist Principality's murder racket? Wow. Sorry, Metallica, I didn't ask for you. I wanted. This is a clue. What do the media oil whores and DJ Mouse have in common? They are murdering ISIS. I am broadcasting on 104.1 FM.
Living Islamic Fighting Group, 86.
Okay. Egypt, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and the United States.
What possibility is there for any, it looks like resolution, it seems like there was this war and then the people proffered the war stepped aside. I know Obama said this is a perfect way to conduct the war. Hillary Clinton was there essentially saying, well, yeah, catch Gaddafi and kill him. What are the prospects for there being some, for the citizenry and for the country, being some semblance of peace?
You mean now or then?
Now.
It's a very low level. I mean, peace is...
Truce between the Pirates of the Potomac and the Barbary Coast, slave monger fellows. No.
And what I just said there was peace with the Pirates of the Potomac and their partners in crime on the Barbary Coast. No. The NATO, Erdogan, Anglo-Arabian puppets, and the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. That's what I meant by ISIS frames Palestine. Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, backed also by the Anglo-Arabian puppets, the Saad death squads, and Erdogan. Now, these are the genocidal axe-murdering moral equivalents of the founding Pirates of the Potomac, the partners in crime with their fellow slave mongers of the Barbary Coast. And to be with us, you must be clean. Do mistakes that you do mean. Move the heart, change the pace. Look for what seems out of place. On and on it goes. Call it like a silent wind. Through the 0 hour, we'll walk, march. Let them cut the sick and break the sin. When our hopes and dreams... Oh yeah, well, he's going to say it better than I could.
Bye. right? And there's plenty more evidence which goes on to suggest the same thing, okay? NATO, the West, they created ISIS as a mercenary group to do their dirty work in the Middle East. I'm just using this one example here to prove what I'm saying, but you can research this, and there's so much evidence which goes on to support this claim. Getting that out of the way. So let's just disregard this for the sake of argument. Let's pretend that ISIS is not a Western-sponsored mercenary group. Let's just pretend, yeah, that's not the case. And let's check this out. Well, what's this? Oh, this is an interview with Patrick Pelot. He's an EMT, and he was even the chronicler at Charlie Hebdo as well. And this guy went on radio, like, on the same day these attacks occurred, conducted an interview in which he stated that the Paris SAMU, that's the EMT unit in Paris, were conducting a multi-site attack exercise at the very same time this real attack occurred. And this multi-site exercise not only involved the EMTs, but also police forces and firemen as well. Wow. Wow, that's quite a coincidence there. That's quite a coincidence, if I might say so myself. And if you look at the history of false flag events, there's always a drill running at the same exact time for the same exact scenario. You look at 9/11. You look at the 7/7 bombing in London in 2002. We had the same exact thing. Drills being conducted at the same exact time for the same exact scenario. Okay? And these are confirmed false flags as well. I mean, 9/11, is it really even a debate anymore? Really? I mean, Building 7 falling at free fall speed? You know, homogeneously just crumbling to the ground, not even touched by a plane or any kind of debris? Yeah, right. Controlled demolition, obviously. False flag event. And it looks the same here with these drills being conducted at the same exact time in Paris on Friday the 13th, 2015. So, you got all that going on. Now, check this out as well. This struck me as extremely odd. The CIA director met with the French security chief just weeks before these Paris attacks. And you know what this meeting was in regards to? Homeland security in France. Yeah. I mean, how often does this go on, really? I find this coincidental, beyond coincidental. It's very suspicious. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't end. Check this out, too. I found this really interesting. Did you know that the owners of the Bataclan, where most of this attack in Paris occurred, I think about 80 to 100 people died at the Bataclan. Did you know that the owners of this place were Zionists and they sold the theater just 2 weeks before? Okay. And by the way, this is after 40 years of supposedly owning the place. Ah, now let's think. Do you really believe that the Bataclan would get any more business after these attacks? Do you think it's even going to remain open? I think they'll probably turn it into some sort of memorial, right? There is no way that place will make any more money. So it only makes sense that if you had prior knowledge, you would sell it, right? You would put it on the market and get rid of it. So I'm not saying that's definitely the case here. It just looks suspicious. Yeah, any more information on this, please drop it in the comment section below or message me on Twitter or Facebook. We need to bust this false flag. We need to really send it to Saturn because obviously this situation right now, the results, the fruits of what we saw in Paris, okay, with ISIS seemingly being blamed, Syria is involved because at least one of these perpetrators is allegedly from Syria. Huh, it looks like a World War III type scenario. Things are really ramping up, not only in the Middle East, but between China and the West, Russia and the West. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And as a matter of fact, it's my suspicion that's why this false flag may have been pulled off by the West or may have been allowed to happen because it gives them pretext to intervene in Syria and, defend their interests. So Russia's obviously in there bombing ISIS, the Western mercenaries, and these attacks in Paris may actually give the West a pretext to intervene in regards to that situation. So we need to keep our eyes open. We have to do what we have to do to expose this situation for what it really is. Let me know what you think. It's been Press Reset Earth. Keep your head up, stay real, and no fear.
Well, I thought this was going to be Terry Mason, but it's... Oh, hold it. Mint Press. Oh, this isn't that. Well, let me get Terry Mason then, but... ISIS, Israel, Iraq, and Syria, it's all part of the plan. Oh, yeah. So, Mint Press. I guess I clicked this because... They were talking about Libya.
Our
so
own Geraldo
that,
Rivera's
well, there
daughter
was, no plan, of course,
was inside that concert hall.
The plan
Our own
was
Geraldo
Operation
Rivera's
Southern
daughter
Mistral.
Was inside that concert hall. Our own Geraldo Rivera's daughter.
Israel
was inside
that
the
national
concert
motto
hall.
Its leaders
They're
are looking for a Latin one. Carpe chaos would be apt on its choice. Seize the chaos.
Explosions near halftime. They knew President Hollande was there.
The other half being
and
instigation
then,
of that
and they
chaos
started to leave,
place.
And as you can imagine, the people in the stadium were.
So,
were
yeah, so becoming this was not cannon fodder for the Holy Land, it's cannon fodder for the oil war.
The SWAT team and the emergency services people
media oil
whores
kick
their,
victims
with
to
their
curb,
long rifles and medical aid. I don't know what the explosion she didn't see anyone.
I didn't want to play the whole thing because that's what got me mad.
She saw the
part where
emergency medical teams
no
arriving.
Lie,
they left the stadium. People ran one way. My daughter Simone and her friend, there were four of them, and the party started going the other. And then they saw the crowd, another crowd pouring from another exit. It was chaos.
The building to come down. They didn't come down easily. That's number one. I believe that there was a series of explosions. I believe that not only did the aircraft come from the top, I believe there's some base explosions at the bottom. When we put something up, it's up. New York is one of the finest construction armies in the world. Our people are craftsmen. We're tradesmen. We know what we're doing. We put a building up, it's up.
Brooklyn, who do you work for?
I work for a local 638. I'm a steam fitter. We had a possible terrorist attack that this wasn't, and we knew after the first aircraft, after the second aircraft, we knew that it wasn't an accident because we know, you know, it's restricted airspace.
Yes, controlled airspace. Of course, they don't ask any questions about or, you know, note the obvious about who's controlling the airspace. It's not an accident, therefore... Whoever controlled the airspace made it happen.
In the 70s, in my book, I see the period 1960 to 1980, when we had one president assassinated, another couldn't run for re-election because he had such tension with his generals. The next one got re-elected for a second term and then had to resign, which is really...
were warned by authorities earlier in the morning and told to prepare for a multiple terror attack exercise. But not by luck, as he puts, but because it was a government-sponsored false flag attack.
Le hasard a fait, pour vous dire, c'est que le matin, au SAMU de Paris, avait été organisé un exercice sur des attentats multisites. Donc on était préparés. Donc ce qu'il faut voir...
As luck would have to tell you is that in the morning the SAMU of Paris was organizing to multi-site attacks exercise, so we were prepared. So what you see is that you had a mobilization of police, firefighters, EMS, associates, who came and tried to save as many people as possible.
Isn't it amazing that yet again we have news of magic passports? Not one, but two magic passports. And I call them magic because they are allegedly from the two suicide bombers that blew themselves up around the Stade de France last night.
Oh, that's why this episode is called Satan's Passport. Satan, I forget his last name, was supposedly one of those 19 hijackers that the idiot Americans, some of whom believe, or some of the criminals that perpetrated the tax, created this military stand down, air defense stand down, but actually they were drones. Two drones knocking down three buildings, no steel frame structure has ever fallen from fire. But nevertheless, these crashes that the American idiots believe disintegrated not two, but three skyscrapers didn't touch the passport. Satan's passport was that in the Pennsylvania hole in the ground or the Pentagon, but Satan's passport, what a handle. Of course, this is, what's the next three words? It was Satan's passport. Well, guide to the end of the world, but that comes a little later. Oh, ISIS frames Palestine. Of course, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service has moved in. The squatters in Palestine, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, right? They're the Air Force for Al-Qaeda in the Golan. It's getting handed over to Cheney's Genie Oil. Cheney, of course, Halliburton going back. But to November 22nd, 1963, when one of the three VPs involved in blowing our brains out, 11-22-63, said, I guess I'm going to have to sell my goddamn Halliburton stock. Now, you can draw a direct line through the Cheney Energy Task Force and everything screwing everyone on the planet today. Of course, that line, same line goes through 11-22-63, goes through 9-11-01, goes through the great bank robbery of September 15th, 08, when Lehman Brothers was taken down, because, of course, this is antebellum. That means that slave profit, that $1 trillion, could go directly to the descendants of the survivors of slavery. $1 trillion wouldn't hurt their pocketbook. So you had to, let the presidents take all the money home, and that's what happened. And then the lawyers are saying, nobody was going to give us any more money if we let the president and CEOs take all our money. And George Herbert Walker, remember George Walker was running Union Bank, got in trouble. Prescott Bush took it over, and he got in trouble for funding Hitler. And along with Henry Ford, building trucks in Germany during the Depression when he couldn't afford to build them here. But no, and spare those ball bearing factories, so...
Now, again, I call them magic, because imagine that, a powerful explosion, a fiery explosion that is capable of ripping apart the suicide bomber. And yet here we have passports that just miraculously fly through the flames and just land at the feet of the local security services. It's absolutely brilliant, right? Yeah, exactly. But this didn't happen once, it happened twice, and this was a Syrian passport and an Egyptian passport. Now, that obviously, before ISIS had even taken the blame for this, put them front and centre as suspects. Now, it's not the first time this has happened, because if we take a look at this guy here, Satam al-Sukami, he is the owner of the original magic passport. And that's right, because he was allegedly one of the hijackers on 9/11, and out of that fiery explosion, this emerged. And it was picked up a few blocks away by an FBI agent.
This woman just has the worst luck in the world. She was at Sandy Hook. She was at the Boston bombing. And now it seems she was in Paris right when it got shot up. This terrorist attack. Oh, friends, we have our first exposed crisis actor. Yeah, this is exposed. This is fake.
This so-called survivor was saved by his cell phone. Saved by his cell phone from the shrapnel. As I say, you can't make this shit up. Let's listen in.
Well, we do have a story of that's a bit more on a positive note, and one witness to the attacks says his cell phone actually saved his life.
Mm-hmm. A man who is going by the name Sylvester says that his phone...
He's going by the name Sylvester. He might as well be Sylvester the cat, because, I mean, we don't know him from fucking Moses.
Shrapnel, as he crossed the street near the Stade de France. Listen.
Ben, le temps qu'il raccroche, ben, je traversais et directement, boum, ça explosait devant moi.
The time he took to hang up, I was crossing the street and straight away, boom, it exploded right in front of me. Everything was blown to bits and I felt stuff flying around.
All right. What is this, grape juice? I mean, seriously, what is that? What the hell is that? How can you have blood, if that is blood, without any tear in the shirt itself? And he just happens to walk right next to a bomb that goes off, and the only thing that gets damaged is his fucking cell phone? Watch.
Around and I left. I fell and then I got back up.
Let's see what his stupid ass shirt says.
Around and I left. I fell and then I...
Keep on something. Let's see if we can see it.
And I felt stuff flying around and I left. I fell and...
Keep on the... I don't know what it is.
Then I got back up.
And there's
his phone. That's when you guys saw me. You were already there.
Wait a second. Let's hear that again.
And that's when you guys saw me. You were already there.
Ah! He's referring to the media. The people, the Italy, Reuters, that just happened to be there when the bomb went off. How does that work, folks? Well, we've seen it many times before. It just happened to be there. It's just a coinkydink, though. I mean, seriously, there's no way. I mean, they just happened to be walking down the streets, just like the New York Times reporter who just happened to walk past all the places that were bombed, right? And taking her son to the dentist, or what is it, the eye doctor, right? And her husband just happened to be in the Stade de France when the bombs went off. He just happened to be there. I don't know. It's just a coinkydink, folks. These things happen, right? So this is all that occurred. From a bomb going off. This and some grape juice on his shirt. And Samsung's getting a free ad here.
So this is the cell phone that took the hit. It's what saved me.
It's the cell phone that...
Otherwise my head would have been blown to bits.
There you go. Save Otherwise, me. So, you know, he's talking on his phone. And somehow the only piece of shrapnel that comes out just happens to hit his phone. That's it.
Okay, so today's episode is called Satan's Passport, ISIS Frames Palestine, Suicide Huggers Wanted. Because, of course, the Palestinian was not the suicide bomber. He was falsely identified as a Palestinian. But the Lebanese man that hugged the Daesh, the Western puppet, a mercenary idiot, may have been Palestinian. So, the more cannon fodder for the oil war, that's what they're ordering up NATO with, this Gladio-style operation. But the false flag is that ISIS is framing Palestine. The Israeli Secret Intelligence Service is framing the people they're squatting in the home of, okay? And this is Suicide Huggers Wanted, so Guide to the End of the World. Beginning at the end of the Fifth World in 1987, Concord's Railroad to Hell became for me a railroad from hell. After a certain point, hells lose their sting. Let's see. Oh, I got myself muted.
And this is the anniversary that the United States of America murdered the children of Hiroshima.
Right, that's when the United States won that war.
Murdered the children. No, they had agreed to the same conditions that were accepted after the bombing. It was obviously to show Russians that we didn't care about military necessity. We would kill their children by the millions. And that's how we won the Cold War.
Okay.
So you understand, I don't need any of that money. In fact, I don't need any of that life. I would rather be dead. If you're going to say you're going to pull your gun and shoot me in the head, if I don't immediately get up out of the way, I'll say this is a good day to die.
So are you going to harm yourself?
No. I would harm myself by cooperating with murder.
Can you hang one second there?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry.
At a certain point, you got to say, I can't live with that, sir. I'm supposed to step into harm's way. Not run like lily-livered cowards saying you're going to murder all those children in Hiroshima and Nagasaki because the American serviceman is too pissing cowardly to go stick their necks out. That's his cover story. I'm not saying that's true.
Thank you. cannot make this shit up.
Believe me. Otherwise, my head would have been blown to bits.
Yeah, your head would have been blown to bits. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to give your frickin' crisis acting interview. It's just absurd. It's insane. You have a bomb blast going off? You know how much shrapnel? You think it would just be one little piece that would come right at you? And the media just happened to be there, of course. It is ridiculous. It's just, it's laughable. It's so dumb, it's laughable. We've seen this so many times before. So it's just what we see, essentially, with these staged events.
Where's the blood? Suicide bomber, there should be blood everywhere. People took the time to look at actual footage of suicide bombers. Real footage, you're going to see blood everywhere. There is none, because nobody died, nobody got hurt, period. Entire cafe. Oh, two chairs pushed over. Two coffee cups on top of a table. Complete garbage. We live in such a dumbed-down society. Now let's take a look at actual footage. This is from Morocco, from a real suicide bomber that did real damage to a cafe. You see the difference? Can you see the difference? We had these two chairs pushed over. That means a bombing happened. Now you take a look at this. World of difference. Now let's take a look at more footage of real suicide bombers. Here you go, another restaurant. Real damage. What happened here was nothing more than a firecracker, if that. A firecracker would do more damage than this. Complete joke. Get more footage here. Now here's something right here. A suicide bomber on a bus. This news story never received 24-hour coverage because it was real. It was not scripted, part of the world stage. You hear about it, you make it on the news, then the story will disappear. This did not affect people worldwide. Again, people can't see the difference. Open your eyes. You can Google cafe and restaurant bombings with suicide
and,
bombers.
You know, they needed a lot of a big audience to have an effect.
This is also sleepwalking through the same slow motion train wreck. Of course, Satami's passport, that fireproof passport, and the false Syrian passport dropped by the body of the well, whatever, they may have been genuinely driven mad and by us. That's just all part of it.
How do you do, Private William McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside? And I'll rest for a while in the warm summer sun. I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. And I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the dead heroes in 1915. Well, I hope you died quick, and I hope you died clean. Our Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they sound the fife lowly to the rifles?
Where is it, or is it down? So, where I got my glasses? Yes. France is today the main international power, which is calling for the overthrow of the Syrian Arab Republic, while the White House and Kremlin are secretly negotiating the most efficient way of getting rid of the jihadists. Paris persists in accusing the Bashar regime, as I see, of having created Daesh and declaring that after having eliminated the Islamic Emirate, it will be necessary to overthrow the Allied dictatorship, re-SIC.
France is publicly supported by Turkey and Saudi Arabia and also secretly by Israel. How can we explain the adoption of such a losing hand, considering that France has nothing to gain from this crusade, either economically or politically, that the United States has ceased training combatants to fight the Republic and that Russia is presently reducing jihadist groups to cinders? Most commentators have rightly pointed out the personal links that ex-President Nicolas Sarkozy entertained with Qatar, sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, previous fans of the Mouse Report will recall the letter from Norman Shumway in 1985. Unfortunately, it is no appropriate role for me to take as a legislator to intervene to stop an execution decreed by a foreign power. In that case, General Namiri of Sudan, who is imposing the Islamic Brotherhood on that splintered nation with the U.S. backing, of course. But back to putting out the sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood, and those of President Francois Hollande, not only with Qatar, but now also with Saudi Arabia. Both presidents obtained... Oh, Saudi Arabia. I can't go 2 sentences without having a segue. Of course, DJ Mouse's secret name is Greg Allen Getty. Now, Getty Oil had a monopoly of Hawaii. That's you get to be a billionaire. Now, a billionaire means you get to vampire 10 people to death, because I've lived on $1,000. If you want to live to 100, that'll mean $100,000. So, with people starving to death, that means $1 million can save 10 lives. They got to be bled to death to feed fat in these parasitic gringo particles, ¿sabes? Anyway, so how do we get this monopoly? Well, we're business partners with the Sawdust Squad clan that, remember Lawrence screaming, take no prisoners? That's, well, it's too complicated for me to even understand, but business partners with the Death Squads, and then getting drop-kicked onto the plantation at the age of 5, my dad was taught to kill bunnies. But none of those 16-inch shells raining on the heads of the children in Hokkaido were on the behalf of any of those raped in Nanking or Asia. So that was why I have, you don't know what you're talking about, echoing down the decades after I said I was proud my dad fought. Where were we?
Smile o'er you as they lowered you down. Did the bugle sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the farm? Did you leave a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some faithful heart is your memory enshrined. And though you died back in 1915, to some faithful heart are you forever 19? Or are you a stranger without even a name? Enshrined forever behind a glass frame, in an old photograph torn and tattered and stained, and fading to yellow in a bound leather frame. Do they beat the drum slowly? Do they sound the fife lowly? Do the rifles fire o'er you as they lower you down? Did the bugle sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Well, the sun's shining now on these green fields of France. A warm wind blows gently and the red poppies dance. The trenches have vanished under the plough. No gas
and no barbed wire, no guns firing now. But here in this graveyard, it is still no man's land. The countless white crosses in mute witness stand to man's blind indifference to his fellow man. To a whole generation who was butchered and damned, do they beat the drums slowly? Do they sound the fife lowly? Do the rifles fire o'er you as they lower you down? Did the bugle sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Can't help but wonder now, Willie McBride, to all those who lie here, know why they died. Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, and the glory, the shame, the killing, the dying, it was all done in vain. For Willie McBride, it's all happened again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Do they beat the drums slowly? Do they sound the fife lowly? Do the rifles fire o'er you as they lower you down? Did the bugle sing the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
Bad DJ. Thank you, Liam Clancy.
So they had a sports event, France against Germany, and the president of France happened to be at the football game. So you got maximum publicity.
Mm-hmm. The personal links, ex-president Nicolas Sarkozy entertained with Qatar, sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood, and those with President Francois Hollande, not only with Qatar, but now also Saudi Arabia. Both presidents obtained illegal financing for the electoral campaigns from these states and also enjoyed all sorts of facilities offered by the same states. Besides this, Saudi Arabia now holds a non-negotiable percentage of the companies listed in the CAC 40, which means that any sudden withdrawal of its investment will cause serious economic damage to France. I would like now to evoke another explanatory hypothesis, the colonial interests of certain French leaders. In order to do so, I must take a step back in history. The Sykes-Picot Agreements. During the First World War, the British, French, and Russian empires secretly agreed to share the colonies of the Austro-Hungarian, German, and Ottoman empires once they were defeated. Oh, yeah. So, how do we get the Yanks into this rat pack? Well, we, there's some shenanigans around Wilson, who promised not to get us involved, and the reward was the Balfour Declaration drafted by the asshole MF who had denied sanctuary during the pogroms in Eastern Europe, Lord Balfour. So we can see what's going on. The creation of the Crusader State. Yes. Once they were defeated, after a round of secret negotiations in Downing Street, Sir Mark Sykes, advisor to the War Ministry and superior officer of Lawrence in Arabia, that's in little quotes, and the special envoy from the Croix d'Orsay, François-Georges Picot, decided to share the Ottoman province of Greater Syria between them and informed the Tsar of this decision. The British, whose empire was principally economic, appropriated for itself the oil fields, which were then known, and also Palestine, with the intention of setting up a colony there for Jewish settlement. Their territory extended across what are now the states of Palestine, Israel, Jordan, Iraq, and Kuwait. Of course, Wellington beat Napoleon, or the British beat the French with the money from Moses Bowers, the Rothschilds, right? And the fact that they took over the central bank after Waterloo because their couriers could cross the battle lines they armed both sides of. So, the British, whose empire was principally economic, appropriate for itself, the oil fields, which were then known, and also Palestine, with the intention of setting up a new colony. Their territory extended across what are now the states of Palestine, Israel, Jordan, Iraq, and Kuwait. Paris, at that time, divided between the partisans and opponents of colonialism, was prepared to sanction a form of colonization, which was at the same time economic, cultural, and political. Let me read that again. Paris, at that time divided between the partisans and opponents of colonialism, was prepared to sanction a form of colonization, which was at the same time economic, cultural, and political. And I should segue to that chapter in the Torbett document talking about the Algerian general shooting the tires out of Charles de Gaulle's car because the same people blew our brains out in 63. And DIS Command, Defense Industrial Security Command, Clay Shaw, head of the World Trade Center, kicked out of France. They had to set up in, I don't know, wherever, after that. And okay, so that was the Torbett document. It goes into all that, those connections. So Charles de Gaulle kicks NATO out of France after France tries to kill him with the same people that killed our president, JFK. And then when he dies, this magazine is mocking him. So those are the you love Charles de Gaulle, and you do not mock him and call a magazine Charlie and start it when he dies to, you know, be a haven for the pseudo-left that's funded by the right, or Big Brother, or the powers that be, or maybe that bank that banksters that arm both sides, the Bush clan, really. Of course, Prescott funding Hitler. George Herbert Walker, son of Hitler's banker. W, frontman for the Jim Crow coup, is grandson of Hitler's banker. Of course, sleepwalking through the same slow-motion train wreck. Half the population in this region was at that time Christian, whom France claimed to have been protecting since the region of Francois I. Finally, the holy sites of Jerusalem and Acre were supposed to be internationalized, but in reality, these agreements were never completely implemented, partly because the British had undertaken certain contradictory engagements, but especially because their intention was to create a Jewish state in order to continue their own colonial expansion. British and French democracies, quote-unquote, never publicly debated these agreements because they would have shocked the British population. You know, that 8 centuries of common law that we rely on, and would have been rejected by the French population. The Sykes-Picot Agreement were revealed by Bolshevik revolutionaries who discovered them in the Tsar's archives. They provoked the fury of the Arab people, but the British and French population did not react to the actions of their government. French colonial ideal. French colonization began under Charles X with the bloody conquest of Algeria. It was a question of prestige which was never validated by the French and led to the revolution of July 1830. But the idea of colonialism only appeared in France after the fall of the Second Empire and the loss of Alsace-Moselle. Two left-wing politicians, Gambetta and Jules Ferry, proposes embarking on the conquest of new territories in Africa and Asia, since they were unable to liberate Alsace-Moselle, now occupied, I thought it was Alsace-Moselle, or maybe that's something else, Alsace-Moselle, now occupied by the German Reich. They united with the economic interests of the right-wing parties linked to the exploitation of Algeria. Since diverting the nation's attention from their failure to liberate the national territory was not particularly glorious motive, the friends of Gambetta and Ferry wrapped the idea up in the fog of catalyzing rhetoric. They claimed not that it was a question of satisfying expansionist or economic appetites, but of liberating oppressed people, quote-unquote, and emanating or emancipating, quote-unquote, inferior cultures, quote-unquote, That's out of Marnoble. The partisans of colonization created a lobby to defend their appetites in the National Assembly and Senate. They called it the Colonial Party. The term party should not lead us into error here. It did not designate a political formation, but a transpartisan state mindset, which united 100 parliamentaries from both the right and the left. They went on to acquire the support of powerful businessmen, military leaders, geographers, and top civil servants, such as François-Georges Picot. While very few French citizens were interested in colonization before the First World War, they were far more numerous during the period between the two world wars. In other words, after the restitution of Alsace and Moselle, the Colonial Party, which by now was no more than the party of blind capitalism wrapped in a cloak of human rightsism, attempted to win over the population by staging a number of huge demonstrations, like the sinister Paris Colonial Exposition of 1831. This fever reached its peak with Léon Blum's Popular Front in 1836. The colonization of Lesser Syria. After the Great War and the fall of the Ottoman Empire, Sharif Hussein of the two mosques of Mecca and Medina proclaimed the independence of the Arab people. In conformity with the promises of Lawrence of Arabia, he proclaimed himself king of the Arabs, but was quickly brought to order by the perfidious Albion. By the, quote, perfidious Albion, unquote. In 1918, his son, Emir Faisal, I think that just means the UK, that's line buckets up the Thames. In 1918, his son, Emir Faisal I of Iraq, proclaimed a provisional Arab government in Damascus while British occupied Palestine and the French occupied the Mediterranean coast. The Arabs were attempting to create a unitary, multi-confessional, democratic, and independent state. U.S. President Woodrow Wilson had reconciled his country with the United Kingdom around the common project of the creation of a Jewish state, but was opposed to the idea of colonizing the rest of the region before leaving the Versailles Conference. France made sure it was granted a mandate by the Supreme Inter-Allied War Council during the San Remo Conference to administer its zone of influence. Colonization had now found a legal alibi. The Levantines had to be helped to organize themselves after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. The first democratic elections were organized in Syria by the Provisional Arab Government. They awarded the majority in the Syrian General Congress to a handful of minor despots with no real political affiliation. But the assembly was dominated by personalities of the nationalist minority. The Congress adopted a monarchical bicameral constitution. When the French mandate was announced, the people rose against Emir Faical, F-A-Y-C-I-L, who had decided to collaborate with the French and the Maronites of Lebanon, who supported him. Paris sent an army under the orders of General Gouraud, Gouraud, a member of the Colonial Party. Quote unquote. I just lost my place, but maybe it's not a problem. I'll see you next time, Tuesday at noon. I was reading from VoltaireNet article 189006 HTML, and that is called computer. Jump. Oh. Excuse me. It's called, Why Does France Want to Overthrow the Syrian Arab Republic?